2 Kings 17. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hoshea, the son of Elah, became king over Israel in Samaria and reigned 9 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, not only as the kings of Israel who were before him. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against him, and Hoshea became his servant and paid him tribute. But the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, who had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and had offered no tribute to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. So the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria invaded the whole land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria and carried Israel away into exile to Assyria, and settled them in Halah and Habor, and the river of Gozan, and the cities of the Medes. Now, this came about because the sons of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up from the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they feared other gods, and walked in the customs of the nations whom the Lord had driven out before the sons of Israel, and in the customs of the kings of Israel which they had introduced. And the sons of Israel did things secretly which were not right against the Lord their God. Moreover, they built for themselves high places in all of their towns, from watchtower to fortified city, and they set for themselves sacred pillars and asherim on every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burned incense on all the high places, as the nations did, which the Lord had carried away to exile before them. And they did evil things, provoking the Lord. And they served idols, concerning which the Lord had said to them, "You shall not do this thing." Yet the Lord warned Israel and Judah through all his prophets and every seer, saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments, my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you through my servants, the prophets. However, they did not listen, but stiffened their neck like their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant which he had made with their fathers, and his warnings which he had warned them, and they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the nations which surrounded them, concerning which the Lord had commanded them not to do like them. And they forsook all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made for themselves molten images, even 2 calves, and made an Asherah, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served Baal. Then they made their sons and their daughters pass through the fire and practice divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him. So the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight. None was left except the tribe of Judah. Also, Judah did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the customs which Israel had introduced. And the Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel and afflicted them and gave them into the hand of plunderers until he cast them out of his sight. When he had torn Israel from the house of David, they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. Then Jeroboam drove Israel away from following the Lord and made them commit a great sin. And the sons of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam which he did. They did not depart from them, until the Lord removed Israel from his sight, as he spoke through all his servants, the prophets. So Israel was carried away into exile from their own land to Assyria until this day. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cuthah and from Ava and from Hamath and Sepharvaim and settled them in the cities of Samaria in the place of the sons of Israel. So they possessed Samaria and lived in its cities. And it came about at the beginning of their living there, they did not fear the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them. So they spoke to the king of Assyria, saying, "The nations whom you have carried away into exile in the cities of Samaria do not know the custom of the God of the land." So they had sent lions among them, and behold, they killed them because they do not know the custom of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, "Take there one of the priests whom you carried away into exile, and let him go and live there, and let him teach them the custom of the God of the land." So one of the priests whom they had carried away into exile from Samaria came and lived at Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. But every nation still made gods of its own and put them in the houses of the high places which the people of Samaria had made, every nation in their cities in which they lived. And the men of Babylon made Sukkoth-Benoth, the men of Cuth made Nergal, the men of Hamath made Shema, the Avites made Nibhaz, and Tartak, and the Sepharvites burned their children in the fire, Dremelech and Anamelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. And they feared the Lord and appointed from themselves priests of the high places who acted for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods according to the custom of the nations from among whom they had been carried away into exile. To this day they do according to the earlier customs. They do not fear the Lord, nor do they follow their statutes or their ordinances or the law or the commandments which the Lord commanded the sons of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord made a covenant and commanded them, saying, "You shall not fear other gods, nor bow down yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord, who brought you up from the land of Egypt with great power and with an outstretched arm, him you shall fear, and to him you shall bow yourselves down, and to him you shall sacrifice. And the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, you shall observe to do forever, and you shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget, nor shall you fear other gods. But the Lord your God you shall fear, and he will deliver you from the hand of all your enemies." However, they did not listen, but they did according to their earlier custom. So while these nations feared the Lord, they also served their idols, their children likewise, and their grandchildren as their fathers did. So they do to this day. Amen. Okay, so do you guys ever watch movies? And it's like a nice movie. And then after a few sequels, they go back and they do like an origin story. And so you find out, oh, how did these guys get to, you know, the X-Men and these kinds of things? Well, this is actually an origin story. And if you read it really fast, you'll totally miss it. But this is the beginning of what's known in the New Testament as the Samaritans. And I'll get into that a little bit. So Hosea becomes king of Israel. This went during the reign of Ahaz. And he's not a good king. He does evil on the side of the Lord, but he does not worship the golden calves like his fathers had done before. So he was among the bad kings. He was a decent bad king, if that makes any sense. But at this time, the king of Assyria, Shalmaneser, overruns, and so Israel becomes a vassal state of Shalmaneser. He pays tribute to Shalmaneser, but he decides one day, and he says, you know what, I no longer want to do this. So he sends a conscription to So, the king of Egypt. And so basically he wanted to get him to come and fight against Shalmaneser. So he doesn't pay tribute. He tries to recruit So, but So is already aligned to Shalmaneser. And so this is a very bad calculation on Hosea's part. So Israel is taken captive. So this is basically the end of the rule of Israel. And so for the rest on, we'll actually only deal with Judah from going forward from this. And so this becomes the culmination of 300 and some years of rule of the Israelite kings, going all the way back to Jeroboam. And it's quite sad it gets to this point. So verse 7 deals with why they were sent into exile. And this will be very common throughout. And so you'll find, again, this is usually the writings of Isaiah. Then Daniel will be a leader during the Babylonian captivities. And all these things. And so now when you have the prophets that leading forth, they basically are speaking truth in the midst of captivity. So this is this time period that we're seeing here. So this is a summary statement that goes out. And he basically says, this is why Israel fell. And when you read it, like, wow, they did really bad. I mean, we get little glimpses here and there, but now the writer puts it all together. And he says that he says in verse 7, "Now this came about because the sons of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God." Now you find out what they did. They walked in the customs of the nations who God had driven out. The verse 9, "The sons of Israel did things secretly which were not right." So they had these secret rites, these secret things that they did. And obviously, God sees all of these things. They had towers. They built high places. They built shrines and ashram and all kinds of things on every hill and under every tree. And so, I mean, these guys were totally idolatrous. And so before they were the people of Israel, now they were the people of the ashram. There were people of the Baals. There were people of the calf. And they had totally, now basically Israel looked like any of those other foreign countries. Where God told them, you are to be set apart. There was a special mandate. God had given only them the law. And now they look like every other nation of the world. And so that's basically what happens to them. They did evil things. They said, verse 11, at the end of 11, they did evil things provoking the Lord. The Lord warned them again and again through the prophets, through his men, and every seer, turn from your ways, but they did not. In fact, verse 14 said they stiffened their necks. You know what that phrase means? It means they became even more stubborn. And so, you know, your neck is loose and flexible, and then they stiffen their necks, which meant that they, it's kind of like they double down on their evil and on their stubbornness. And so this happens. So the Lord removed them from his sight, removed them from his land. And now you have the Assyrian captivity that takes place here. So he has these people come and plunder the land. The house of Israel is torn now, and the cities of Israel are now filled with strangers. So what ends up happening, and this will be quite consistent during the ancient Near East. The royal family, the wealthy, anyone with any kind of position or skill or any of those things, they're taken into captivity. They're taken to the capital city, and they're now to be used for the benefit of the new kingdom, or the new king. So thus we see Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They're the smart guys. They have potential, and they get sent into the Babylonian court. So this is typical. The people that are left in Israel now are the beggars. They're the low class people. And now other nations have now are living in, and so races are being mixed. And so Israel is being totally diluted racially during this time. So what happens here, and now we get to the Samaritans. Where do the Samaritans come from? It actually comes from right here. So what happens is that all these nations gather in, and they all serve their own gods. So now when you read this, you realize, oh, the Egyptians had come in, the Babylonians had come in, and obviously the Assyrians, the Moabites, I mean, all kinds of people come into this land and they mix with each other. And so, but the Jews will now be known as the Samaritans. Not necessarily just from Samaria, even though that's part of it, but even more, they become their own sect. And so what happens is that these guys come in, and all of a sudden, they do not fear the Lord. So God seemingly had given them opportunities to turn still in the midst of their captivity, and they do not. They serve after these other gods. So God sends lions. I mean, crazy, right? Sends lions in the land. They ravage at certain points. And so it makes the Assyrians, now these would be the ruling people in the cities of Israel, Assyrians say, hey, go back to the king. King, you need to help these people because lions keep coming in. And for whatever, these were spiritual people. And so they recognize that there was a curse on these people. Something was happening here. And they needed to appease their God. They were part, the whole religious system was appeasement. They needed to appease their God so they can get good karma. You know, this kind of idea. And so the king sends a priest, one of the exile priests, and he comes back in. But most scholars believe that he was not a very good priest. In fact, he could have very well have been one of the priests that actually served the Baal gods. And so he was a bad priest at best. At worst, he was actually a Baal worshiping priest. Sends him over, and so he brings a hybrid form of Judaism there. And then he comes, and then he mixes with all these other gods during that time. And then thus you have the syncretism of these faiths, and thus you have the Samaritans. So they come in, and so he teaches them. And so you'll notice that there's a very funny, or funny but kind of weird. It says in verse 32, they also fear the Lord, and appointed from among themselves priests of the high places who acted for them in the houses of the high places. They fear the Lord and serve their own gods. So, how do you fear the Lord and serve other gods? You know what I mean? These guys were totally confused. They had a reverence for the God of Israel, but yet they served all their other gods. They had reverence for the God of Israel. They knew who he was, but in their practice, everything else. And that's basically what happens. And so these Israelites that were there now mixed. So remember the Samaritans, when we get to the New Testament, they're all totally mixed blood. There's only a little bit of Jewishness in them, but they are now in this kind of syncretistic religion, and it gets raised up, and now, and this is kind of how twisted this is, now they think they're better than the Jews. And thus, that's what leads into the New Testament idea of the Samaritans. They are this new breed of a collection of these gods. And it kind of makes sense in the natural in some ways. Oh, we have the best of the Babylonian gods. We have the best of the Egyptian gods. We have the best of the Assyrian gods. We have the best of all these and the God of Israel. And so you can see how they're kind of lifted up in this place. And then you see the enmity between the Israelites. The ones, interesting enough, the ones that were led into captivity, by the grace of God, God protected them. And they become the remnant. The ones that actually remain in Israel totally fall away. And they start creating their own religion, basically. Again, which is the Samaritans. And, I mean, it's really sad, you know, how this works. And I mean, so just to give us an idea of for where, you know, today, listen, all it takes is a little bit of compromise. That's all it takes. All it takes is a little bit of borrowing from other religions. You know, Christians say, oh, yeah, I can do yoga. You know, that's okay. That's just like, it's harmless. It's good for me. You know, oh, I could, you know, and go to the Chinese temple, and you know, I can bow before. Oh, yeah, I can get my palms red. You know, it's like maybe God is also. I mean, it's just this ridiculousness that's really poured into the church, and we have our own kind of Christian syncretism, don't we? We have our own kind of idea that goes in. And all it takes is an introducing of something that's not of God into the fold, or sometimes it's something, you know, really as simple as false teaching that begins to run into the church, and it creates, I mean, all kinds of issues, you know, that happen. And then you have in this modern world, and then you have people that adhere to this new teaching, and they're exalted above. I'll give you one, okay? I mean, I don't mean to be controversial this morning, but the prosperity gospel, right? The prosperity gospel. You know, the idea that God, the sign of blessing, God wants you to be rich. Well, there's a half-truth to that. You know, and that God wants to prosper his people, but the sign of your prosperity is not material wealth. And so, you know, there's this idea, I mean, this is quite fresh. I was reading an article yesterday, and it's Benny Hinn's nephew. And he used to be, you know, part of the team, and his dad actually is also a pastor and all these things. And he wrote this article on Christianity Today because he's out of that movement. And he's really writing and kind of give us an inside scoop into, you know, all that goes on. It's alarming. I was reading that thing. It's like, wow, these guys are crazy, man. You know, and he writes quite eloquently about that. I mean, if you want to just Google Christianity Today, Benny Hinn's nephew, and you know, come out with this article. And it's insane. And so you see a lot of the adherents of the prosperity gospel, you know, how they believe that they're the elevated, we're holding the truth, you know, all these things. It's so ridiculous how this works. All it takes is a little bit of false teaching to enter into the church to really lead people astray. You know, so there's no longer a theology of suffering, right? I mean, it's kind of a messed up theology on healing, you know, in all these ways. And so, like, in the prosperity movement, even healing, you know, if someone doesn't get healed, it's because you lack faith, which is really detrimental, you know, pastorally to people. Because you see in the Bible, like, for instance, the man, the paralyzed man, you know, at the pool, he has no faith whatsoever. And randomly, he doesn't even ask, and God just heals him. You know, but he doesn't heal anybody else in that place. And so, I mean, so we basically need to have a biblical account of our, not only our actions, but the way that we process information and do things. And the moment we get away from the scriptures, the moment we start diverging ourselves and other things, is a moment that error comes in, and error multiplied over generations, and then you get Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Mormons. You know what I mean? I mean, it just goes. The list goes on and on and on and on. And so we need to be very careful of this. Okay, so let's close our eyes. And how important it is for us to be biblically grounded. Just think, from this time into the New Testament, you're talking about thousands of years of these Israelites led astray because of syncretism. They allowed the gods of their age to come in. Now, we may think, oh, we don't do that. Huh. Brothers and sisters, think about how much intellectualism has come into the church. Think about how much humanism has come into the church. And those are the gods of this age that have infiltrated the minds and the hearts of the people of God. I mean, I know I talked about the abuse of healing, but how about people that don't believe in healing at all? Totally humanistic. That's the god of this age. The power of man. I can harness, I can do it myself. It is so prevalent in the church today. Intellectualism. I just need to understand it. That's nowhere in the Bible. But it's also infiltrated the church these days. Maybe we don't have an Asherah, or, you know, we don't have the calves. Man, but we worship on the altar of intellectualism and humanism almost every day in the modern church. And it's the need for us to go back to the scriptures, to go back on dependence on the Holy Spirit. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. Let's pray. Let's pray to the best of our ability that we would have biblical accuracy. To the best of our ability. I know on this side of heaven, right, there is no perfect theology. That's not what I'm saying. But to the best of our ability, let us be faithful, right, to the Word of God. That is really the only way that we stay away from these traps that the enemy sets of bad theology, of syncretism, of all these things. There is no other. And so let's really pray for ourselves. Let's pray for our church, our churches, that there would be such a passion for biblical accuracy in our lives. And at that same breath, let's also pray against the gods of this world that have invaded the church, primarily intellectualism and humanism. I know that's a bigger topic for another time. But let's just begin to just pray into that right now. Let's go to our community prayers. Let's pray for our community battling cancer, going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's go to our community. They're battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing and let's pray for salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for Sister Liz as she tries to find work. Let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China. Let's ask God to really move and bless this country. I don't know if you remember that religious law that was passed. It goes into effect this February 1, apparently. And so they don't know what's going to happen. And so we're preparing our church in Beijing for inevitable actions, possibly. And so let's just pray and cover them. Let's pray for Pastor Hyunsu. Pray for the board as they go about and make contingency plans in case there is a religious shutdown in China. Just really lift them up. Lift up all the churches that are there that may be in this predicament. Let's pray for the Chung family. Pray for God's hand upon them. Jane is in Korea with the last son, Joseph. And then John is ministering all through China. So let's pray for them as they are separated from each other right now. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents in the translation work as well. Pray for Edie Clark, particularly her health. And just lift up the churches. And let's just pray with this new... or this old law that's now going to affect very soon. Let's pray that God would protect and the gospel would still be preached throughout China. Let's lift up the board. Let's ask God's hand upon our leaders. Particularly, we have a board meeting actually tomorrow night. Let's pray for just the wisdom and the thoughts of God would just flood our minds and our hearts. And just really pray for Holy Spirit to lead. Pray or just cover the families as well. Let's cover our fellowship ministries for men's ministry, or Monday prayer, Pure Desire, and the fraternity. For women's ministry, their Live, discipleship, and both of the retreats coming up in early November. Pray for the young adults, the Yahweh Eats, and their retreat in December. And pray for Spring's Love After Marriage as continue on. Let's pray for God's hand. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Blue Pool, Cimbria, Causeway Bay, EastEnders, House to House, Island, Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, Robin Hood, and TST. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for just a great warning, Lord, as it pertains to the Samaritans, God. Lord, if we the modern church, Lord, if we allow, God, other thoughts, other religions, God, other ideas to infiltrate our minds, Lord, and then as those things begin to syncretize, Lord, and then it mixed with bad theology, God, leads to blindness, God, leads to destruction, Lord. God, and so forgive us, God. Help us, Lord. I know I said biblically accurate, but God, even better, help us to be biblically faithful, God, fidelity, God, in the Word, and lead us astray. Lord, we recognize the gods of this age, Lord, particularly intellectualism and humanism, God. Lord, we pray, Father, get against those things, Lord, we pray that they would not, God, invade the church of the Lord. And so keep us unstained from this world, God. And help us, Lord, to live out your scriptures every day. Lord, we bow before you, God, and we're so humble, Lord. And we just say, Holy Spirit, we need you so desperately to lead us into truth, Lord. And so we thank you, God. Watch over us today, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow.